Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4,
the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. And the 35th verse. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Sorry. Am I okay now?
Yeah.
Sure. And the same day, when the evening was come, he, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in a ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It had been a long journey, a long day for the Lord Jesus Christ that day. He had taught the multitude by the seaside, and now that evening had come, the multitude had been sent away. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. But as they set out that night towards the other side, I wonder if the disciples saw something. I wonder if they noticed something that was very significant that night. And to make it relevant to me and you, I wonder if we notice the same thing every day. Will we notice it, Lord willing, tomorrow in our workplaces, in our neighborhood? You see, when the disciples, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, set off for the other side, did they notice they weren't alone? How often have you read that portion of God's Word? Did you notice that there were other little ships out there that night? It says that in the text. They weren't alone. When the multitude had been sent away, apparently there were some who had been very touched by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that day. They had been touched by his love, by his grace, by his mercy. And when others went back home, they did not. The scriptures say very clearly, there were with him other little ships. They weren't out there for no other reason but him. They weren't there to fish. They wasn't there for what was on the other side. They were interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did the disciples notice them? Do you remember a warm, muggy night in the year 2001, in the summer of 2001, when we had a gospel meeting outside this building right across the street? How many of you remember that? Did you see them out there that night? Did you see those in the other little ships?
out there that night? They were all out there.
But you see, Louis, what I can recall is that there weren't that many people from the neighborhood that came and sat in those chairs that were set out outside, but they were out there, all those in the other little ships, that night. Did we see them? Did we see those kids that were bicycling that night and stopped and just peered around the building that's just over there? And they listened in. Did we see them? Did we see the man up here on this street who opened the window to his second floor window? Or to open this window to the second floor? I got that wrong, but you know what I'm trying to say. I'm French, so just excuse that. I use that as an excuse for everything. Did we notice him? Did we notice the people who listened to the message? They were out there on Sunday evening just walking by. Some of them were walking their dogs. Did we notice them? They listened in. Did we notice the few of them that drove by and just put down their window just a little bit just to listen for a part of the message? My friends, do we notice those in the little ships around us every day? They may not be where we think they are. Those in the other little ships might not be the ones that we think they are, but they are there. And none of those people that night would have heard a single word of the gospel if we had had the meeting inside this church building instead of outside. When they set out that night, it got dark. It was the evening, as the scriptures say, when the disciples and the Lord Jesus set off for the other side, along with those in the other little ships. What did the disciples see? Did they see the darkness? Or did they see those in the other little ships? Did they say to one another, look, they're there. They're joining us. They are people interested in our Savior, in our Lord. Did they make every effort not to lose sight of those in the other little ships despite the darkness? My friends, the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the darker it is getting in our world, isn't it? Spiritually speaking. Do we see the darkness? Do we dwell in the darkness? Do we dwell in the fact that so many people are disinterested, hardened to the gospel? Or do we look to the Lord? You know, there's a railroad yard, as you know, it was mentioned this morning. I labor in the gospel to people in transportation places. There's a railroad yard near Quebec City. Quebec City, by the way, is celebrating its 400th anniversary this year. None of you seem interested about that, but at any rate. How many cities in your nation could celebrate 400 years? And there's a railroad yard there on the south side of the St. Lawrence River. A railroad yard there, very sizable. At least 250 men work out of that railroad yard belonging to the Canadian National Railway. I've had the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus in this ministry for 26 years. On many occasions over the past 26 years have I visited that CN railroad yard in Quebec City. And it was never difficult to see the darkness. It didn't matter who the person was there that was in charge. I was always shown the door. It didn't matter who. Disinterested, people shrugging their shoulders, couldn't have cared less that I was there. I must confess that over the period of those years, I became somewhat hardened myself. When I would go into that place, I would expect the darkness. I saw the darkness rather than those and the other little ships in that place. How many people work in that yard, as I just said? Somebody are actually listening to this message. I'm impressed. You know, one of the last times I went into that railroad yard and I took copies of our gospel paper, do you know how many I took in? Five copies for 250 men? What was the problem? I saw the darkness rather than the Lord. I did not see those in the other little ships. And I went into that railroad yard, and the Canadian National Railroad clerk saw me, and he saw me carrying this paper. We mail a few copies there, you see. And he said, you write that paper? I was expecting the worst. I said, yes, sir. He said, we got a problem with that. Was I surprised? I just said, yes, what problem? What problem do you have, sir? On n'a reçoit pas cette copie. That's French, by the way. Do you know what he said? We don't get enough copies. Now, you don't seem shocked about that. You're just sitting there, yeah, well. I wasn't expecting that. I said, I beg your pardon, sir. He said, well, yeah. He said, how come you send us so little? The men actually enjoy, he used the word enjoy, they actually enjoy reading that paper. And you only send 10 copies. You don't send enough. I was shocked. I said, well, sir, I have more in the car. I'll go and get some. And as I walked outside that building, I asked forgiveness of the Lord. I saw the darkness rather than those in the other little ships whom Jesus loves in that place and for whom he died. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure that you'll go out this afternoon and pass out more invitations than perhaps people will come to your vocational Bible school. But look to the Lord, how it will please him to see your efforts to reach those in the other little ships with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if there's one city, one day of year in your nation where it's spiritually dark, it's a Tuesday. Did you guess? New Orleans. On a particular Tuesday in the year, Mardi Gras. You know, there are people in the assemblies there in New Orleans that on Mardi Gras and Mardi Gras week, they take holidays just to get away from the city of New Orleans. 6 years ago, before Hurricane Katrina ever hit New Orleans, I was visiting the city of New Orleans on that day. I hadn't checked my calendar, you see, before I left home. And I found myself in the darkest place on the darkest day. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be here today. But Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of New Orleans, even today. Even on this day. Lord Jesus, keep me from seeing anything that I ought not to see today. Lord, for the glory of your name, for the encouragement of thy servant, will you be pleased to open every door I visit today on Mardi Gras Tuesday in New Orleans. Do you know how many railway companies New Orleans has? Six. Do you know how many departments most of those companies have? About five or six departments. I made over 30 visits that day. And do you know how many doors the Lord opened that day? How many I had asked him for? Come on. Every one of them. You don't seem excited? I mean, I know it's the assemblies and we have to control our enthusiasm. I understand that, and I fully. In 26 years, I've never had a day like that day. That day, the Lord encouraged me, instead of looking at the darkness, to look at Him. As a matter of fact, the very first place I went into that day, a CSX railroad office. The superintendent said to me, he said, "How did you get in here?" Sir, I just walked through the door over there. That's how I usually get into buildings. Isn't that how you get into buildings? I said, he said, that's supposed to be locked. I said, "Well, sir, evidently it's not locked, otherwise I wouldn't be here." He said, "That should be locked. Where did you park your car?" I said, "Right beside your building there." "How did you get it in here?" I said, "I drove it in here." He said, "Where?" I said, "Through the gate over there." He said, "Which gate?" I said, "The one that's right there, sir." He said, "That's supposed to be locked." Everything in that place that day was supposed to be locked. And I wanted to say to him, "Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no man can shut." It's a holiday that day, you know, sadly. They give people a day off that day to partake in debauchery. Sad. But there are departments that day that were not opened. There's a little building there belonging to the Norfolk Southern. I know you're bored with my railroad stories, but it's just a little building belonging to the track department. They're not working that day. So when I passed that little building by, I even said to the Lord in the car, "Lord, I asked you for every door, but this one I can understand." It wasn't I was trying to get the Lord off the hook, but that one could not be opened. And but I stopped, and I'm so glad I did. I went to it, and I tried it. And it's closed. They're not working, right? And I said, "Lord, I understand." And I just turned around, and then I hear a voice. "Do you want it?" I mean, come on. Where's the voice coming from? It was coming from inside. Listen, inside a locomotive. There was a locomotive parked a few tracks over without a train attached to it. And there was a man working on that locomotive. I couldn't even see him. He must have seen me go to that door. And when I saw it, he poked his head out. I said, "Do you have the keys to this building, sir?" He said, "Yes, I'm coming down." He had, you don't seem excited, he had the keys for a department for which he does not work for. He opened every door. I just want to encourage you not to become weary in well-doing. Surely there are people that you've prayed for, witnessed to, and at work, elsewhere, your next-door neighbor, and all they do is, don't look at the darkness. Look at those there in the other little ships. They are there, you know, around us every day. Do we have a burden for them? I've often wondered, why is it, Lord, for many years as a Christian, when I read this portion of Scripture, I never saw the other little ships? Do you know why? I'm too self-centered. Every time I read this portion of Scripture, and it's not wrong, but I thought about going through the storms of life, and we always think if there's only one ship out there, the one in which the Lord Jesus Christ was found with his disciples. But there were others there. Do we have a burden for them? Canadian Pacific Railway in Northern Ontario one morning, I go into a little trailer in which usually there is no one. But here's one man, and he's sweeping. And I introduced myself to him and told him why I had come. Within 15 seconds, he told me he was a Christian. It's always encouraging when you never have to ask. I didn't have to ask.
He was a young Christian. Hadn't known the Lord for very long. His name was David.
And when I told him who I was, this is what he said. Now I understand. Which meant I didn't understand anything. I said, I beg your pardon, sir. He said, now I understand. He said, sir, I have not known the Lord Jesus for that long.
But since my conversion, I've had a longing to see my workmates on the Canadian Pacific Railway saved. And I've been praying for weeks that the Lord would provide me with tools, with would help to be able to share the gospel with them. And now you come this morning from Toronto with a gospel paper written for railroaders? It's an answer to prayer. He said, now I understand. I said, I beg your pardon? He said, yes. He said, sir, this morning I work for the track department. He said, I'm never here at this time of day. But this morning when I came in along with my workmates, before we left to go and to repair the track, my foreman said to me, David, stay behind, sweep, clean the trailer. And he said, when he told me that, I felt a little sorry for myself. I thought to myself, I'm not the only one who dirtied this trailer. How come I'm the one who has to clean it? And he said, now I understand why it is that my foreman had me stay behind so that you and I could meet and this meeting would be an answer to prayer. Amen? Oh, the Lord notices
the burdens in the hearts of his people that he places there in the first place. To God be the glory for those in the other little ships. Brother, sister, does he see that in you and me? Who are we concerned about?
You know, it's one thing to have a burden, you know. And it's wonderful when we do. And I'm sure that you were very interested in seeing boys and girls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but will you be out there today distributing those packets? I'm sure you'll be praying.
I told my brother John Schuett I'd share something about U.S. Air today. And, sorry, brother, no United Airlines, but you did work for U.S. Air at some point. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A few months ago, January 30, if it was a Thursday evening. There are three Bible study groups that take place in the airline hangars there. 11 o'clock in the morning, first shift. Second shift, 7 o'clock in the evening. Third shift, 1:30 in the morning. I was invited to speak at the 7 o'clock meeting. 7 till 7:30. I know that... Now, Mike was the one who smiled and laughed. I know that some of you cannot think it's possible for me to only speak for 25 minutes. I know. And Mike, I want to speak to you later, but because you're the one that laughed the loudest, you know. But a dear brother there who has much upon his heart, those in the other little ships at US Air. He works the day shift from 7 till 3. He said, Louis, I'll come back and join you in the evening.
That's not a little sacrifice. He lives quite a distance away.
He said, let's have supper together before the meeting.
And I'd like to get there at 6:30. Why did he get there at 6:30?
When was the meeting?
7.
Why 6:30? Why get to the hangar a half hour early? Do you know why?
Because he doesn't know the men working very much on that shift. That's not the shift that he works on. And do you know what he did for half an hour? Some of you have said he prayed. Well, I think he prayed ahead of time. Do you know what he did for that half an hour? He walked about the hangar and simply told the men that he did not know, that there was a meeting on the second floor at 7 o'clock.
Do you know how many mechanics came? You were there that night? 17. Some of you were... Yeah, well, you know.
17? That's a Bible study, a prayer group in the workplace. Do you know how many we reckon are saved? 4. There were 13 unsaved U.S. Air mechanics who came to the Bible study group that night. My friends, if Joe, my friend, had not gotten there at 6:30, how many would have come?
In all likelihood. Would we have had a meeting? Would you have preached the gospel to 4 people already saved? Well, as Christians, we rejoice in hearing the gospel, I know. But I think of those 13 men.
Some of them might have said, you know, we would have come if we would have known. I shared that story with just one point. My friend Joe has a burden for those in U.S. Air, but he looks to the Lord to do what he can to bring that burden to pass. Do we say the same?
Lord, it's easy for us to say, I care for those in the other little ships, but do we say, Lord, what can I do? Lord, use me to share your love and your grace with those in the other little ships around me every day.
And there's nothing which the Lord cannot do. Saturday morning, a few weeks ago, Greenville, South Carolina. It was a beautiful morning. And there was a building on the railway. Sorry, not a railroad story. It was all locked and surrounded by fence. It looked like a concentration camp with barbed wire. And I wanted to leave copies of our paper there for people that would come back on Monday. And, but what do? There's a mailbox, but I cannot reach it. So I put copies of our gospel paper in an envelope. And I tried to put it in the fence. And it wouldn't fit. Tried my best and just had to curl it, and it fit. And I said, Lord, this has to stay here till Monday. And I turned around. And I saw them. You saw what? The clouds coming. It was getting dark. And I said, Lord, it's going to rain. It's going to rain on the envelope. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes, don't look which way the wind is coming. You don't know what will profit this or that. And you know what happened? It rained. It rained for Saturday. And it rained on Sunday. And all I can think of was that little envelope. Soaked. Monday afternoon, Augusta, Georgia. I'm not even in South Carolina anymore. Are you following the story? And I go into a building, and I'm walking. I've got the paper in my hand. Somebody saw me. I wasn't even looking at him. He was sitting where you're sitting. Sorry to point you out there. I'm glad you're awake. He said, you're the one that left that there, didn't you? I said, I beg your pardon, sir? He said, yeah, the envelope in the fence there in Greenville. I said, you found that, sir? He said, yeah, I found it this morning. It was all soaked. But he said, but I'm drying the papers out. Now, come on. I mean, I imagined a clothesline with the papers just being dried out. What an encouragement that was. I knew one thing, that brother was a Christian. Who else would dry them out? Right? Who else would dry them out? Why is he drying them out? Because it's an insignificant piece of paper, but the message it contains is not insignificant. It changed his life. Let's do what we can. Let's not look to see which way the wind is coming, whether it's stormy, whether it's just sow the seed, brother, sister, in the morning. Do not even withhold your hand in the evening. Do not lose heart. Have you noticed when you've taken a boat on a lake, a lot of lakes in Wisconsin, have you noticed that you can hear a conversation miles away on a lake? Somebody said yes. I'm trying to think, maybe that doesn't happen in Wisconsin. You can hear people speak a long distance away, can't you? Can I ask you a question? When those in the other little ships were out there that night, near to the ship where the disciples and the Lord Jesus found themselves, the Lord Jesus was asleep. Can I ask you a question? What were the disciples talking about? Not so much what were they talking about, who were they talking about? They might not have realized it, but those in the other little ships could hear their conversation. Especially when we get together with brothers and sisters. Do we talk about the Lord? Do we talk about His goodness, His grace, what He's done for us? His mercy for sinners. Now, do not misunderstand me. I do not mean to say we cannot talk about any other subject. But let us be conscious as well that our words are listened to more than we can ever possibly imagine. Right? If I go into Starbucks and I hear somebody talking about the Green Bay Packers, will I listen in? If I hear someone mention the name Jesus, I'll listen in to that. What do we talk about? Who? Who were the disciples talking about in the ship that night? About themselves? And who would be the greatest? Or about the Lord Jesus? You know, Amarillo, Texas. You ever been to Texas? Wow, what a big state Texas is. And I was there in early March. And I went into a railroad yard. I repeat, a railroad yard. And I'm walking by, and I hear this, "Eternal security!" Now, come on. It's a railroad yard. You don't seem to appreciate this. They do not talk about eternal security every day in a railroad yard. And I was stunned. I walked in. There were two men from Enid, Oklahoma. I said, "Gentlemen, I couldn't help but hear. I'm 56 years old. If I could hear them, so could everyone else in the other little ships in that Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad Yard that day." Right? I wasn't the only one who could understand them. And they were having a discussion on that matter. Is that not a worthy subject? Surely is. They were arguing about it a little bit. You know, when they found out who I was, you know what they asked me? They didn't ask me. I wish if the people in the other little ships were there. I wish they would have simply asked me, "Brother, you're a Christian. How did you come to know the Lord?" I could have shared my testimony with everyone in the other little ships out there that day. But they didn't ask me how I'd come to know the Lord. They didn't ask me about the Lord. They asked me how I felt about eternal security. They wanted me to decide the argument. I thought, no, instead of having two people discuss this, we're going to have three people who discuss this. and everybody's listening in. You see, there are worthy subjects to be talked about even as Christians. But let's talk about Him. Let's make our words count. Every word that comes out of our mouth is a seed. You know, I went into a railroad yard in Savannah, Georgia. Hadn't seen this Christian for 4 years. Do you know the first question he asked me? When I saw him, I was so happy to see him. In the workplace, with the other little ships all around. You know the first question he asked me? What do you think of our election? I'm a Canadian. I don't even vote. Sorry. I don't even vote. And we were going to talk politics? My friends, they're listening in. They read your life. They listen to your life. More than you'll ever know. Not only do they hear what we say, but they hear the tone of what we say. Listen, when the disciples said this to the Lord Jesus, Master, do you not care that we perish? What was the tone they used when they said that? What did those people in the other little ships hear? They must have heard the tone more than just the words. Master, don't you care that we perish? What was in that voice? Fear. That's what the Lord said to him. Why are you so fearful? We who belong in the Lord, who know that our sins are forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and grace. What do they hear in our voices? Not just our words. And they listen in more than you know. I was asked, and this one will even be more strange to Mike, 20 minutes I was given, not even half an hour, brother, in West Virginia in February to speak in a breakfast meeting in a restaurant. First time I ever was there. I was invited by a group of believers that I had not met before, and they asked me to come, and they sat in the middle of the restaurant. There were 20 of them. Different tables. Do you know how many people were in the restaurant? At least 100. Well, I said, Lord, I have an audience, but those people have come to eat breakfast, not to listen to me. Bad enough that you have to listen to me for this long. But they had not come to listen to me. So after breakfast, I stood up. Some of them looked at me like, why, does that guy eat standing up or something? And they couldn't figure out why I was standing up. And I shared the gospel for 20 minutes. And I tried to speak loud enough so that the 20 could hear, but not too loud. I'm not sure how I can stop my voice. But not too loud, so I'm not bothering everybody else. It's not that I was ashamed. I finished in a word of prayer. I actually finished in 20 minutes. I'll have you know. I know, it's pinch yourself, but it's true. And after I prayed, there's a man from the other side of the restaurant. He made a beeline towards me. I thought to myself, if he heard it, everybody else must have heard it. I said, oh, my voice carried all the way over there. He didn't look particularly happy. And I said, oh, brother, here he comes. And he said, sir, before I left, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciated the word which God put on your heart to share this morning. Wow. I'm not sure if that man was saved. But he was there, and he heard. And he recognized that the message was not my own. He was there in the other little ships. They're listening in to what we have in our hearts. Because it's what we have in our hearts that will come out of our mouths. Do we love the Lord Jesus? When we love Him, we'll want to share Him.
And sometimes, even when we don't say anything, God speaks.
Spartanburg, South Carolina. I've been going there for over 25 years, once a year in February. Very important. Once a year in February.
So I go in to the railroad yard, to the office, heading to the superintendent's office to ask him permission to leave this gospel paper for his employees. Are you with me? Right? I come in. And there's a man sitting at his desk over there. I don't even know him. He said, "It must be February." I said, "I beg your pardon, sir?" He said, "It must be February." I said, "I don't understand." He said, "You always come in February." He noticed it. By the way, none of you noticed that I only come in July. None of you said that to me. I'm deeply offended. But I said, "I beg your pardon, sir?" He said, "Yes, you always come in February."
I said, I never seen that man. But he'd seen me every February. But I had never seen him. Wow. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Art." I said, "Art, I'm glad to meet you." He said, "I want you to know that since last February when you came, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "That's wonderful, Art." And he said, "I want you to know one thing. That every year you came, God spoke to me."
I'm not saying that to flatter myself. I hadn't said anything to him. But God was speaking to him. They're all around us.
And they're listening in. They especially draw near to listen in. Do you know when? Do you know when they do that? When there's a storm of life. Storm of life. What happened that night when the storm came up? What did those in the other little ships do that night when the storm came on the ocean? I suspect they drew nearer to the ship in which the Lord Jesus Christ was, didn't they?
Was it not through a trial and difficulty in your life and my life that we drew nearer to Him, that God used?
For some of us it was, wasn't it?
I remember on one occasion going into a mining company, and I'd gone in there for 15 to 16 years to visit a man to share the gospel with him. And every year I would see his secretary. So I'm going to point you out this time, sorry. And every year she'd say this to me. "Ah, bonjour, Monsieur Voyer. Ça fait longtemps qu'on vous a pas vu. Good morning, Mr. Voyer. It's been quite a little while since we've seen you." He always had the same secretary for 16 years. And after I would go and visit him, I would always come back out. "Au revoir, madame. Goodbye, madame." And she would always say to me, "Au revoir, Monsieur Voyer. And we'll see you next year." And that's how much I spoke to that woman every year. One of the last times I went in, and I went in to see him, and I came back out, and I had my hand on the door handle, leaving the office. You know what she said to me? "I have problems too, you know." Yeah, they do. And especially in the storms of life. The storm of storms. What's the storm of storms? Death. Did you not think? If the disciples were afraid and the Lord Jesus was in their boat, imagine the fear of those who did not have him in their boat. Who did not understand who really he was. The Son of God to whom the wind and the sea obey. Do you not think they were fearful that night?
Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, 1986. I was asked to visit an elderly man and his wife by their Christian nephew. They informed me that his aunt and uncle were not saved. And so when I went to visit them that Sunday night, they knew why I was coming. I came for supper at 5 o'clock. They were very nice and gracious to offer me supper. The man spoke for 3 hours. If you think this message is long, he spoke for 3 hours. And he boasted about the fact that he did not need God in his life, that he could handle any storm in his life. And he wasn't about to give me the opportunity to say anything. So we had supper, and I had to listen to him till 8 o'clock. That's a long time. And he said, after 3 hours of listening to a man boasting of his self-sufficiency, he said, "You want to watch television?" At that moment, I was ready just for about everything. Do you know what was on television that night? NBC. National Broadcasting Corporation. You know what that is. You're Americans. The Day After. You remember that movie? Some of you are so young you weren't even born in 1986. Do you remember that movie? Obviously, you do not watch movies on Sunday night. I know you're very spiritual. The Day After a Nuclear Holocaust. And we sat there, the both of us, two separate chairs, watching this. And you know that NBC, they were so concerned that people would get too fearful that they had to put an announcement at the beginning of that movie. These events are fictional. They are not real, so that people wouldn't panic. You know, so I sat there. It was a boring movie. We sat through a half hour of it, and I looked to the mister, you know, he was there sitting, and he was shaking. And I don't mean to poke fun at this. He did not have Parkinson's disease. I said, "I'm sorry, sir. Are you okay?" He said, "I don't really like stuff like this." I said, "Well, sir, we can turn it off if you like." And by the way, sir, it's only a movie. It's not happening. You see, it's the fear of death. That man did not know what awaited him on the other side. What about you? Are you ready to disembark on the other side? Are you one of those in the other little ships? You're near. You're interested in the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in Wauwatosa Bible Chapel on a Sunday morning. 1,001 other things to do than be here. But you're here. Perhaps you were raised in a Christian home. That's wonderful, but I'm not asking you if you're near. I'm not asking you if you're in church. You're in church. I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today? Do you remember a time in your life, the storm of storms, when you recognized that you were a sinner? And you recognize that even your best deeds were as filthy rags before God. Do you remember how stormy it was that night? And do you remember that upon the confession of your sin to God, you heard that "peace be still" and there was a great calm? You remember that? You can be near, but not in. Oh, the tragedy of spending eternity in a lake of fire to recognize that you were so near to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know. I was in church 22 years of my life. I was in one of those other little ships. Until one day in 1969 when I met a young man. I couldn't understand what there was a peace about that young man. It isn't that he didn't experience storms in his life. He did. But it seemed like the storm of storms, the state of his soul, that matter had been settled once for all. Has it been settled in your life? Just a few more thoughts and I'll close. How does that sound? I'll only be 5 minutes over time. Boy, some of you. When those in the other little ships that night looked over to the ship in which the Lord Jesus was in and his disciples, what did they see? What did they see there? They saw the Lord Jesus Christ sleeping. You know, for 22 years of my life, even though I was religious, and that's the way I saw him, kind of uninterested. I didn't fully understand that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that God was not sleeping. That God took the initiative to save you and of me. That God was not like I thought God was. That he had wound up, created the world, yes, and wound it up like a watch and just let it work by itself. God was intimately interested in his creation, in his fallen creation, in you and in me, that he gave his only begotten Son, the Son of his love, the Son of his bosom. God is not sleeping. You know, I was in Tampa, Florida not that long ago, and I went into a railroad yard there. There was a man there unsaved. His first name was Jerry. And I had only met that man only once before. And he showed no interest in the things of God. And that day when I came into his office, as I just stood, right, I just came, just right into his office, and the phone rang, and the phone was a distress phone from his sister telling him, and me overhearing, that his mother was dying. Do you see it? Do you see it? The Lord had me there at that moment. To encourage him. God is not sleeping. Some of you might be now, but God is not sleeping. God loves that man in that room. And do you know what he just did to me? Never gave me the opportunity. I left saddened. If I left saddened, how saddened the loving heart of the Lord Jesus must have been that day. Was there ever a better time for that man to see the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who conquered death in the grave? And he just whisked me aside. You say, oh, how could he have done that? Some of you might do the same thing today. Are you? Is he in your boat? Are you in him? I had more, but I stopped with less. The story is told of two ladies. My final story. They worked in the World Trade Center prior to September the 11th. And one of them knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she longed to see her workmate saved. That workmate was in one of those little ships.
She was noise, she was near, but not in Christ. She was interested in listening to what her friends said and to see her life in the sidelines. People are watching to see how Christians react themselves in the storms of life. And she did.
And her friend, her Christian friend, would ask her workmate time and time again, not every day, she didn't pester her. And she'd say this to her, "Have you gotten on the bus yet?" I know that's a good Christian transportation story, that's why I'm sharing it. "Have you gotten on the bus yet?" And the lady would say to her, "Yeah, I haven't gotten on the bus yet." On that fateful day of September the 11th, both those ladies were able to escape. But after they escaped the building, one of them came down. And they were caught up in that cloud. Do you remember that? That cloud of dust and whatever else that was there. You remember that? It was thick, wasn't it? And they were suffocating. How can you breathe in that? I don't know. And they
sought a place for refuge. Do you know what they found? So they could breathe an abandoned New York City Transit bus. In the middle of that panic that day, the sovereign Lord of the universe was taking that one person. It wasn't by chance God was fully in control. When people say, "Where was God on September the 11th, please. He's always there, eager to save. What else does he have to prove? He gave his son, and he brought that woman, and she repented of her sin and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ on that bus on September the 11th. Is he in your boat? Just like it was a fateful day
for that lady that day. Why are you here? God hasn't taken you down shattered buildings, but he's brought you here today to look at his son. Are you ready to disembark on the other side? I'm French speaking, I'm Canadian, you're American and English speaking, it matters not. We're all traveling over to the other side. Are you ready to stand before your Creator? Either you will meet him as your judge or as your Savior. What will it be? And for those of us who are in Christ, I asked at the beginning, do we notice them every day? Do we see the darkness, increasing spiritual darkness, or do we see those nearby who are looking into our lives, listening in? May the Lord help us to be less thinking of ourselves and more about those in the other little ships. I'm finished now. That's the first time I've seen some of you smile all day. Tonight, much to Mike's glee, sorry Mike, I'm picking on you, I'll be sharing 12 words.
Now you're really happy.
Really? Only 12 words of scripture today.
The only 12 words that are written about a person's life. Only 12 words of scripture are written about him. Would the same 12 words be spoken about you and about me?
Will you come and listen to that? Some of you are saying, 12 words, surely he'll have to finish on time tonight. Well, don't be too hopeful there. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you ever so much for the Lord Jesus Christ that came to this earth, was made man. He came to bring peace
to hearts that know no peace. He came to die on a cross of Calvary, to die in a place of those so unworthy, for sinners. And the Bible says that all have sinned, so we are all sinners. He came to die for each and every one of us. And there's one thing that concerns me most of all this morning, Lord. Someone here today, they're here week after week. They go to Sunday school. They've been to Sunday school. Maybe grown up in youth groups. They might even have a Christian spouse. But are they in Christ? I pray that none who are here today, who are near, will leave in that same place, in that same position. He came that there would be no distance between us and a holy God. He shed his precious blood to bring a great calm. And that night when the Lord said, "Peace, be still," and he silenced that sea, not only for his disciples, but for those in the other little ships. Perhaps there's someone here today that's come and the sea is very stormy. They might not admit it, like that man did not admit it. They've never admitted they need a Savior. I pray, O God, that you would bring them to the foot of the cross to see their sinfulness, to see their need for a Savior, to see that he paid the price once for all to wash away their sins. Father, help us to look to you, not to look at the darkness around, but those in the other little shifts about us every day who are watching our lives and listening in. May we be found speaking about the Lord. May we be found living for the Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.